Hello and welcome to Ask Mike, in which we put real questions to the real Mike Southern. How are you, sir?
I'm real today.
Yeah.
Absolutely real.
Just today. This is a question that comes from one of your live face-to-face mentoring sessions, and it's an interesting one. How do I find a foil? And before we get into that, maybe you should define what a foil is.
A foil is somebody who has the opposite set of skills to yourself. So if you're an introvert, they're an extrovert, and vice versa. So if you're poor with detail, they're good with detail. If you're terrible with the money, they're good with money, and so on. And people always ask me this when I see them for mentoring. I say the first thing you do is you find somebody with the opposite set of skills to yourself. So I'm obviously a very sort of extrovert, sales-oriented, talk-to-people, networking kind of chap. I need a Chris West, who's my co-author, who's very much more sort of studious and industrious and introverted, to be quite honest, to deliver on the promises that I make. Because you can simplify business into three very different jobs. There's obviously sales, you've got to get some business in, then you've got to deliver what you deliver, then finally you've got to make some money. Now, the making the money bit, you can get an accountant or a bookkeeper to help you with that specific technical task. It's really just sales and delivery. And of course, we all have to do a bit of everything, so I have to spend some time delivering as well as selling. But if you decide what I'm best at is either sales or delivery, you find your foil who has the opposite set of skills. And the best example I always give is Lennon and McCartney, because McCartney is obviously an extrovert off the scale. He's, you know, still touring. I don't think he's doing it for the money. I think he's got enough of that. He does it for the love and the adulation and the applause. Good for him. Lennon was much happier in the studio tinkering away with Strawberry Fields. But even if you look at any successful entrepreneur, there's always, if there's a shouty one, there's a quiet one in the background. I talk a lot about Sir Richard Branson. There was a guy called Robert Devereux, who is his brother-in-law, who's an accountant kind of guy, who I think successfully stopped him going bankrupt a couple of times or making terrible business mistakes. And Charles Dunstan has had David Ross. You know, there's always somebody in the background to do the opposite to you. And even if you're, you know, doing that visibility thing and making yourself known at networking events, then you need somebody back at the ranch doing the work.
And you say, do this first.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Well, often businesses start like that, where there's two friends in a pub talking about, oh, isn't it terrible? Why can't I get a decent cup of coffee in my village or whatever? And then if they have a natural complementary skills, they can start a business together. One person going around saying, listen, we're going to have this amazing coffee tomorrow. You've got to come in and buy it. In fact, give me half the money up front, which is what I would be doing. And then somebody's thinking, right, how on earth do we make a really good cup of coffee? Because there's very few questions in business, and people always seem to focus on the what. But I always worry about the how and the who. Because an introvert, somebody like Chris West, is always thinking about how. So you come up with a question like coffee, he'll work out, how do you make a cup of coffee? It was me. I'm thinking, who? Who do I know who would buy some coffee? Who do I know who would
help me make it?
Help me make it. Yeah, Who's the best coffee maker? I'll hire them immediately. Then the last question is when. So that's timing. So when do you want your coffee? And those are the main ones. And then in the background, you're always asking yourself why, which is, why are we doing coffee? Why are we doing it with these people? Why are we doing it now? Why are we doing it this way? But if you concentrate on the how and the who, then you won't go wrong. Because I meet plenty of entrepreneurs who've come up with a better mousetrap. And that's, you know, your classic inventor. They've worked out how to, you know, deal with mice, but nobody's found out about it. So nobody's going around saying, listen, my friend has got this amazing mousetrap. And vice versa, which is people say, oh, you know, I'll sort out your mouse problem. And it's like, oh gosh, how do I do it? So foils are very important. Now, the way you find your foil is through psychometrics. And the one I use, Wealth Dynamics, a very simple one. It doesn't say if you're any good at anything. It just says you're one of eight types. Of course, once you know the type you are, you know what your opposite is. It gives you some sense of who your foil might be. But pairing up, it works really well.
Does this happen? To be a formal partnership?
No, absolutely not. It's two friends in a pub knowing which jobs they're going to do next. So my job will be round up people, yours will be deliver the product or service, and then let's divvy the spoils up later.
So it doesn't have to be a formal partnership. I can say, maybe I'll give you 10% sometime, or it's going to be my company for now, but I'll pay you to do this.
Any option you like.
Yeah.
Because basically, remember, you're trying to motivate the other person. So if I'm the extra sales girl and I've got all my friends telling me, oh, Mike, if you could solve that mouse problem for me, I'll give you a lot of money. And you'll say, well, I can make a bit of mousetrap. You rely on me to round my friends up and get money up front, and I'm relying on you to find a better way of dealing with mice than we have currently. Now, you may come back saying, well, I've looked at it and I can't do it, give them the money back. Or I may say, well, actually, my friends wouldn't give me any money. But you keep going around this sort of prototyping circle. And again, the sales guy could be working for somebody else, just telling their friends in his spare time and getting a bit of money on the side.
And we should reemphasize, I mean, Mike, your golden piece of advice for any aspiring entrepreneur is stick it out as long as you can under the radar.
Absolutely.
Yeah, keep your old job, and your foil can keep their old job, and all the rest of it.
Because I meet a lot of apprentice entrepreneurs, I call them. They'd love to start a business. And it's probably a great idea for a business, but nobody actually given them some money yet. yet. Now, as soon as you get some money, you're a seedling, as I call it. Somebody's given you some money, so they've given you £20 to solve that problem. Then I say, well, how much did it cost you to do it? £10. So show me the £10 you've got left. You're an entrepreneur. You've got a profit. The rest is detail. Yeah. I mean, in 6 months, you can think about formally starting a company. But a lot of shy people don't like going up to strangers or half-friends and saying, do you want to try my mousetrap out? And again, I'm no good at inventing mousetraps. So these are good pub conversations if you follow our beer mat metaphor. You're in the pub, you're talking to people. 24 hours later, you may decide, well, that's a silly idea. You must have drunk too much or whatever. Or it could be, wow, I think we're onto something.
And again, in terms of the definition of foil, I think one of the big challenges is the just like me problem. I've seen so many entrepreneurs who go into a formal partnership with somebody who is just like them.
Oh, and here's what happens when you get, if you get two delivery people, the shy people together, they think of another 57 features it should have. Oh, it should speak Latin and Greek.
And we can't go live until all of those are in place.
Yeah, and then if it's two people like me are saying, oh, I tell you what, we could do mousetraps, and we could do dog grooming, and we could do this, and do all, solve all the pet problems. And there's just too much going on. So you need one person working with another person who they totally trust. I mean, I'm very lucky with Chris West, I've known since I was 13, because we can have very robust conversations about any topic. Some people might think we're having an argument about it, but we're not.
He does.
Well, I'm sure he does. Now, I'm just fighting the corner of, would anybody pay for it? And he's fighting the corner of, is it intellectually sound? Does it work? Is it good quality? And if we both agree, suddenly we're on a go and we go for it.
I mean, I've known Chris almost as long as I've known you. Mm. And it is absolutely fair to say that you can be as forceful as you like with each other. And it isn't an argument, because you both respect that you're making a different type of contribution.
Absolutely.
And you know, I think if you can maintain that as long as possible, that's a pretty solid partnership.
Absolutely.
Probably better than, you know, as we spoke about in a previous program, husbands and wives. How do you judge a good foil? How do you find these people?
Right. It's, they have to keep their promises in all ways. So, for example, if I say, I'm going to speak to all my friends about that, you know, did you speak to all your friends about it, Mike? Oh, I've been too busy, or I couldn't be bothered, or I was not feeling very well. Mm. They've let you down. Or vice versa. Well, could you do me a quick printer? Could you write 500 words about that? Just, you know, an outline of the workshop we're talking about. Because there's a phrase that you and I use in a different circumstance, which I use a lot, which is try me, improve me, which is give them something to do, put a short time scale on it, and you're thinking, you know, Mike spoke a good talk in the pub. He's going to tell all his friends about my amazing new workshop that I'm going to design. Did he follow up on that promise? And if he didn't, I mean, there could be one of 100 reasons. Either he thought 10 minutes later, oh, I'm not interested in that, or he's just lazy, or he's no good. You find out quickly. Because it should be exciting for both parties. I should be thinking, oh, I can't wait to speak to my friends about that workshop idea of yours. Or you should be, oh, I've already had three ideas how the workshop, let me go back home and come up with a really good outline. You know, not spend too much money, but, you know, think it through a bit and do a bit of research. That's what it would work with somebody like you and somebody like me.
Fantastic. So there it is. You do need a foil. You may not think you do, because entrepreneurs are very, very good at saying they can do it all themselves.
I know. Well, you can, but let's take the workshop example. I mean, a lot of people who have what's called a creator profile in Wealth Dynamics, which means they've got a bit of mechanic, which is do it, and a bit of star, which is sell it. Hmm. So they can basically come up with the idea of a workshop. They can write the workshop themselves, and they can deliver it themselves, which works fine if you only ever want to have one person there. We'll say to them, look, pick one. I don't mind which one it is. You can either deliver the workshop or write it. One of them, and get somebody else to do the other one, because then you can beginning to scale the business. Of course, you can cover for each other, and the next one you might write it and they deliver it and vice versa, whatever. But they keep moving backwards and forwards on the chart. They're going in and out of flow, as we call it. And if you just want to stay a sole trader, absolutely. You do all the jobs yourself. You sell yourself, you deliver yourself, and you do your books. So if you imagine a self-employed plumber, probably really good at plumbing, but just remembers to put a few cards in people's houses, did a bit of marketing, or tell your friend. They remember to say that. And then they're doing their books themselves while they're running a cash business. If they've got cash left in the end of their pocket at the end of the week, they've made a profit. Now, that's a very simple model. And we all start there. But if you want to scale the business, you find your foil. And also be brutal about, I'm terrible at detail, or Chris might say, I'm terrible at selling.
Fabulous. If you're listening to this still, you need a foil. Yeah, no, you do. Take that from us. Mike, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Nick.